You are listening to Talking Star Wars. Hello, welcome. I'm Connor.
And I'm Alex.
We're going to talk about some Star Wars related topics today.
You know, as we do every time you listen to us.
Yes. Today we're going to take a look at the First Order, and more specifically, what is the First Order and why is the First Order?
For anyone who has watched the sequel trilogy, we know that the First Order becomes our new antagonist. The Empire has fallen, Palpatine is dead, asterisk, and the New Republic exists as the governing force in the galaxy. But then there also appears to be this other faction that appears to be, how do they have so many Star Destroyers? Where do they get the resources to build Starkiller Base? You know, they have Stormtroopers again. They have Captain Phasma. Kylo Ren and Snoke are part of their organization. What gives?
They're visually, stylistically identical to the Empire, though they are not the Empire. The Empire was the ruling class at the time of the original trilogy. It's something that came to power due to Chancellor and then Emperor Palpatine. When the Empire was around, they were subjugating the galaxy. And the First Order is not. Who is in control in the time of the sequel trilogy?
We need to look at both what is portrayed in the films where the First Order is shown, which is relatively limited in scope, and then what is expanded upon in certain novels and other expanded materials to understand more than the films allow us to, how the First Order came to exist and why it is suddenly able to threaten, you know, the entire galaxy when, you know, their exact scope is unclear. Are they a small cadre of military extremists, or are they an actual sovereign state that is conquering other areas? So we're going to answer those questions for you.
So we have the dissolution of the Empire. Yeah, the Empire is still around. There's the Imperial Remnant that sticks around after Palpatine dies and the New Republic is formed.
Yeah, so there, the Battle of Endor marks the start of the Empire's death spiral, but does not mean that everyone in the Empire dies. There is a long, years-long mop-up period explored particularly in the two trilogies of novels, the Aftermath trilogy and the Alphabet Squadron trilogy, all about how there are different Imperial holdouts and factions that are trying to vie for control of the dying carrion beast of the Empire as it crumbles to pieces and the New Republic seizes large swathes of territory, and while other systems declare themselves independent.
And even in The Mandalorian, which I believe is 5 years after Return of the Jedi, we still have remnants of the Empire in the form of Moff Gideon, his Death Troopers, his evil droids, and we see that the Empire is still out there with desires, with goals. Yeah. You're the Grand Admiral Thrawn is still in existence after disappearing at the end of Rebels.
There are multiple Imperial factions doing multiple things, or former Imperial. But really, any chance that the Empire could have reasserted itself dies at the First Battle of Jakku, which is the planet we first see in The Force Awakens. And it's how, you know, the Star Destroyer that Rey is scavenging at the start of that ends up on the surface. The New Republic musters all of their forces after, you know, some political maneuvering. There's, you know, the galaxy at large is skeptical of a strong central military authority after Palpatine used that to seize power. So it takes some political finagling. But finally, they manage to gather their entire fleet to fight the entire Imperial Remnant at Jakku, and they defeat them in a bloody but, you know, fairly decisive battle. So only a few Imperials are able to flee, among them Grand Admiral Sloane and some others. They go deep into wild space through a route that Palpatine had prepared and charted out. Palpatine had many contingency plans, many of which were contradictory and crazy because Palpatine was a Sith Lord. And if you do a bunch of weird contradictory things, people won't know what your true plan is.
Contradictory and crazy.
Not necessarily crazy. He gets crazy when he comes back as a weird forced clone. But at the time, you know, he had everything from Operation Cinder to his secret bases in the unknown regions as contingency plans.
So does the First Order grow within this wild space, within Palpatine's contingency plans? We hear about Snoke gathering forces in unknown regions.
So the First Order is not just a small cadre of, super motivated revolutionaries and military junta types that come out of the wild space, though that's certainly where a lot of the origins begin. We do have Brendel Hux and then his son Armitage Hux, and then Captain Cardinal and Captain Phasma, who indoctrinate a whole, they abduct children and indoctrinate them into stormtroopers. And First Order stormtroopers are generally better trained and more badass than Empire stormtroopers. There's not as many of them, but they are more capable and more threatening because there are fewer of them.
To take a look at this from a grand scope, if you have the clone troopers, the patriarchs of the trooper society, they were very quickly, within 10 years, grown, created, trained, and primed for fighting. Next, you have the Empire stormtroopers, which are this sort of like I see it as a mass draft of
Yeah,
the galaxy.
they're a conscript army or a half volunteer, some conscripts. Most conscripts don't get to become stormtroopers unless they show aptitude. They stay as normal infantry, as we see with Han Solo, where we're just throw endless waves at you at on Mimbin, and then maybe with some actual stormtroopers show up at some point to make a difference.
But with the First Order and their stormtroopers, we have these trained, indoctrinated children who have been poised for at least 20 years in order to become part of the First Order. So it's a much more extreme cost.
Yeah, like Finn is badass and powerful, and he got all of that training to be as good as he is from the First Order. He was top of his class until he kept refusing to do evil things and simulations, and then he got demoted to sanitation. Even though his aptitude scores were very high, he was never they were never quite as sure of his indoctrination as possible. But to understand how the First Order got all the resources that it did, so it's partially an effect of a long-term plan by Palpatine to, get this new program for mentally indoctrinating people out of the way and the resources to make new fleets squirreled away into wild space, the beyond the Outer Rim, and then they come back. But then there is a strong industrial and political base for the First Order. They are not just wandering from star to star system with no basis of power. They do have a basis of power. They do control star systems. This is outlined in the novel Bloodline, which is about pretty much the breakdown of the political structure of the New Republic. It's set 5 years before The Force Awakens, 5 or 10. Leia, in her 50s, is the main character, and it is about the continued trend of Mon Mothma basically keeps the New Republic together herself because she's a hero, and she's able to make the political system work by not having a strong, military authority, demilitarizing the New Republic to the degree that's possible. And the faction that she and Leia lead are all about sort of a federalist approach where each independent star system is its primary governing, and then the Republic is just the loose body of any treaties and trade rules that govern the whole galaxy. There's no to have a limited central authority. But then there is another faction within the New Republic that wants to have a stronger central military authority.
Would it be the resistance?
No, that's in fact the nascent First Order. So they are portraying it as a simple for security and protection, but really behind the scenes, the push. I mean, both sides are portrayed as relatively ideologically inflexible and impractical, whereas the Leia's faction, who want more independent for star systems and a weaker central authority, unable to stand up to certain threats or take decisive action when there is an actual outside threat. Whereas the idealists of the faction that wants to have a stronger central authority and a stronger military and stronger rule of law has been corrupted from within by the survivors of the Empire and the nascent First Order so that they can have a power base. And this political system is vulnerable to that. So yeah, there is the populist faction ruled by or led by Leia and Mon Mothma, who favor greater autonomy for systems, and the centrists who want a stronger central government. The populists are fairly ineffective and unable to really meet the challenges of the day, particularly after Leia is discredited when it is revealed that Darth Vader was her father, which she has hidden from the galaxy for 20 years.
As you do.
And then the centrists are corrupted from within by the First Order, who want to use that greater central authority to consolidate power and basically have the rebirth of the empire in a different form.
Did the First Order have machinations outside of regaining that central control? I know the Empire was a political machine as well as a militaristic machine, so they did have this backing of an immense army, advanced technology, but they were more so about enforcing their will and politics on the galaxy. Is that what the First Order is looking to do, or are they more so a militaristic force just wanting to create this stronghold?
Yeah, the First Order is more openly, like, I mean, the Empire's pretty fascist, but I mean, they still have a lot of the trappings of the Republic, and they have, the need to have a certain bureaucracy to keep it functioning because they had Palpatine ruling it. The First Order is more a straight up Stalinist fascist military dictatorship. There's a supreme leader who has complete control over all aspects of society, and really, it's like. There's a more extremist element where instead of just being a bureaucrat, like in the Empire, a lot of evil was impersonal. It's just the bureaucratic system grinding away. Like as we see in Andor when Cassian is just imprisoned, it's not even someone making a personal decision. He was just someone nearby a crime scene and he got arrested. Whereas the evil of the First Order is more personal and more directly, I mean, they have their whole, it's the classic fascist excuse of using law and order as in a means to seize more power and to take more control and freedoms away from people. So how they got their resources is that centrist faction that was present is been suborned from within by interests of the First Order. And so then after the complete breakdown of the New Republic political apparatus, the centrists secede as a whole from the New Republic. Yeah, it was very similar to the inciting incident that caused the Clone Wars, except there is no authority like Palpatine who either wants to instigate a war. There is no central authority strong enough to like start a war, like Abraham Lincoln style, to maintain the Union. So instead, the New Republic, the remnants of it, recognize that the First Order, as they have come to call themselves, sort of. They call themselves that, like, yes, we are bringing order back to the galaxy. The weak populist faction in the New Republic was unable to keep order, so we will do that. And then the more proto pseudo imperial elements start coming in later once they have a more iron control over the territory they control. But before the Force Awakens starts, there's actually a truce in place between the New Republic and the First Order. They are like rival states and countries in space that are. Adjacent to each other, but they have agreements in place to respect each other's territory. It's one reason Poe defects to the Resistance. When he's part of the New Republic, he is not allowed to fire on First Order targets unless they fire first. It's actually, it's a very Cold War situation until it suddenly becomes not very cold.
I wish that was described at all in A Force Awakens, just because one common complaint about that film is that it does not fairly set up what's going on in the universe. And you can say that in the original Star Wars that was so much the case, but I think in the original Star Wars it was a simpler time, a simpler narrative, and it was very clear that you had an empire and a group of rebels. Now in A Force Awakens we have a New Republic that is not mentioned. We have a First Order and we have a Resistance, and it just makes for a murkier setup of where power truly lies within the galaxy.
Well, that is why we're doing this episode, because you are correct in that the political situation in the galaxy is very unclear at the start of The Force Awakens, and then by the end of the movie, no longer matters.
Knowing that they are more of a in a civil war type setup where you have this opposed ideologies of how to control power in the galaxy combating. So when does the resistance start up? When do people start resisting this? What are they resisting also?
Yeah, so the Resistance is an illegal paramilitary organization created by Leia Organa after she is discredited as a senator. So she leaves the political apparatus of the New Republic, which has largely abandoned her and proven itself fairly ineffectual. She tries to do the like improve the system from within thing and is making grounds, but then that no longer cuts it when the First Order secedes from the New Republic, and she believes they are going to directly threaten the existence of the New Republic as a whole and conquer the galaxy. So she forms the Resistance, the paramilitary organization, with whatever resources she can scrounge up and whatever friends she has around. And that's 6 years before The Force Awakens. And so that's why the Resistance is never quite as powerful as the Rebel Alliance was. The Rebel Alliance had the backings of entire star systems. The Resistance was always operating, we're not only enemies of the First Order, but we're illegal in the very eyes of the state that they were trying to defend.
Are they namely resisting the First Order, or are they resisting this attitude within the New Republic to not act?
It's both, but I mean, they cast themselves as resisting the First Order, because then the First Order, once the truce is in place, they start putting pressure on other star systems to join them, to abandon the New Republic, and the New Republic is largely powerless to respond, and is rife with political inefficiencies. And I wish we'd seen the breakdown of authority. We get a little bit of that in The Mandalorian, where we see the X-wings patrolling the Outer Rim, and they're both a single X-wing is a powerful force, and it's frightening to locals who show up, but
Their influence is stretched quite thin.
you have the couple of X-Men showing up with Tatooine is as much presence from the New Republic as you get. That's what the First Order is it is half, pretty much, it's a large chunk of the New Republic that secedes and then is molded into shape of a war-driven fascist state by survivors of the Empire that retreated into wild space as set up by Palpatine before his death.
And it implodes on itself because it goes from one despot to another, each of which steer it in personal directions.
Also, yeah, the Empire had a lot of inertia. The Empire existed as the primary government in the galaxy for 19 to 21 years, depending on how you slice it.
With the backing of the Republic behind it, the original Republic, and all of Palpatine's time spent to spin that empire into
To
existence.
slowly suborn all of the checks and balances of an existing thousand-year-old political state to his ends. So the Empire had inertia, but when the First Order is entirely ruled by the Supreme Leaders, and relies on a brainwashed army. So when the threat of military force vanishes, as with any fascist junta, you can see the power of the First Order collapse very quickly when the threat of military power is no longer present. But there's also no longer a First Order pres or a New Republic to fill the vacuum. So we don't get a sense of much of what the political situation of the galaxy is going to be after the rise of Skywalker, but it seems like it might be reverting to almost like this system by system government or small groups of systems being allied with each other rather than having some strong central or even weak central authority.
Because it's the inclusion of all these separate parties, these separate heroes that band together to fight the Final Order, which the Final Order is just the last ditch effort of Palpatine to spin his First Order into the last final countermeasure against the galaxy, where his second secret stockpile of weapons is now used in employ against the denizens of the galaxy. But you have all of the individual parties banding together in order to combat this final military show of force and finally dismantle it.
Yeah, but that doesn't really seem to be a primary political ideology behind the resistance. It's just resisting the First Order, and after it's done, it's like, does the entropy of victory set in, and sort of they all go their separate ways, and all systems are fending for themselves? The crime syndicates start taking over? Do more powerful regional states in the galaxy start establishing themselves and taking over? We don't know.
I would have loved to see greater criminal activity in the sequel trilogy overall because we're missing that underworld aspect, but maybe that's where the series is going to go in the future because within the sequel trilogy, the First Order dismantles the New Republic, blows up their political seat. We're left without that beneficial force. Rey is able to cut off the head of the First and Final Order alongside Ben Solo, so now we have no centralized government, which would be a perfect environment for your criminal organizations to take hold power and beat the next antagonistic force in the series.
Or your idealistic revolutionaries, or your old alliances coming back. So they could have a lot of interesting political things happening in the power vacuum left by the destruction of the New Republic and then the implosion of the First Order. So that is what the First Order is. It was actually the result of a cold civil war between factions in the New Republic, being manipulated by survivors of the Empire and machinations of Palpatine before his death, and then eventually evolved into this fascist military state that launched a first strike in the first hot opening times of the Civil War, won handily, but was an ultimately fragile state due to their, you know, as all fascist states are.
And it only took 20 minutes for two men in their 30s, not paid by Disney or Lucasfilm, to explain and contextualize the First Order when J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson could not. So you're welcome, Disney.
Yeah, so hopefully that provides some additional context, because I think it does actually inform and match the results of the results of those movies and the plots, but it's never explained anywhere in there. You know, it's like, look at Armageddon Talks. He's totally Hitler giving the speech, but like, how did he get there? Why are all these people loyal to him?
Why is he so mad?
What system are they blowing up that it's such a big deal?
Yeah. Oh, we don't even get that. It's the opposite problem of the prequel trilogy having too much politics, or having too many politics, to the sequel trilogy having not enough contextualization of its politics.
Yeah, because you need to know what are people fighting for. You can't just have some vague platitudes here. Is it representation? Is it freedom? Is it, you know, the general sense of, you get a better explanation of what the Resistance's ethos is in the expanded universe than it's ever portrayed in the films. At least the First Order has, you know, they have a pretty good propaganda. It's like, we bring order and prosperity where the New Republic is weak. So yeah, that's our exploration of the First Order and corollary the Resistance and how they came to be in that situation at the start of the sequel trilogy.
And if you have any other political questions, please visit our subreddit. Drop a line, drop a comment, drop a question.
Or comment on one of our YouTube videos if you're listening there.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Well, we'll talk to you about more Star Wars next time.
We've been talking Star Wars. We'll see you sometime soon in a galaxy right here.